Let's talk about football and your Chicago Bears. Down, set, punt, or will they punt? Can we get to the Super Bowl, or will we choke? It's the Bears Camp Report with Adam Hoge.
Yes, that's right. A big day at Bears Camp in Bourbonnais. A lot of the scrums continue. We'll talk with Adam about that. And, of course, some more injuries to update. But really the story happened off, as you just heard with Adam's rap in the news. Jay Cutler somehow is the headline, and he didn't do anything once again. Yeah. I guess that's better than him doing something. Adam Hoge joins us now from WGN Radio Sports. You can find his stuff, Intentional Grounding, and also his blog at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, you too, Justin. Yeah, it seems like at least once or twice a season we get these stories that are created way outside of House Hall with a former teammate saying something about Jay Cutler, and Jay has to respond because we're, I guess, obligated to ask him about it and get some kind of response. And Jay usually handles it in a very classy manner and saying, you know, and saying basically what he did today, you know, a little bit of a joke, like, oh yeah, wide receivers are always open, but you know, this also saying that, yeah, we miss them, and you know, best of luck to those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a small, and it's funny because Martellus Bennett, he kind of was, you know, his was a little bit less. It was his brother, a defensive end for the Seahawks, who really, you know, says that Jay Cutler's the worst quarterback in the NFL. You know, as you know, let's get past the fact that there's, you know, some bad blood there. But is there any truth to the idea that Jay Cutler could be the worst quarterback in the NFL?
No, not at all. I mean, all due respect to Brian Hoyer, but he was a starter in the playoffs last year, and he's a lot worse than Jay Cutler. Now he's the Bears' backup.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, you don't have to go too far to find the and really. You know, I kind of put it in tiers. I mean, there's probably five teams, you know, maybe seven that have really, really, really top-notch quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks that last forever and you're always happy with them. Then there's the next tier, which are pretty solid, good quarterbacks that you can stick with for a very long time. Maybe they're not elite, but, you know, the top level of elite, but they're still pretty good. And then there's, you know, at least 10 teams that are consistently struggling to find that guy over and over and over again. And I think what we forget a lot in Chicago is the Bears used to be in that last 10.
Oh, my gosh. That's all we were. That's all we know.
Exactly. All those years that went by of constantly returning a quarterback, and that was a storyline in training camp every single year. And while fans are certainly frustrated with Jay Cutler at times, at least he's been good enough to maintain that starting job since 2009 when Jerry Angelo made that trade to go get him. And it hasn't always been great, but he was pretty good last year, and he's had some good years, and he's a lot better than what it could be. I'm not saying you should settle for that by any means, but you could do a lot worse. So for Michael Bennett to come out and say he's the worst quarterback in the NFL is just – kind of a ridiculous
and
statement.
It's just headline grabbing. It's clickbait. All right, let's talk about the Bears offense. They're starting to see them come together. Talk about Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, and his relationship with Jay Cutler, and what you're seeing in Bourbonnais. It seems like the Bears offense is gelling a little bit.
Well, it's just we're finally getting a chance to kind of see what this might be. And you know, I've been asked this a lot the last week or so and months about how different it'll be from Adam Gase, who's moved on to the head coaching job with the Miami Dolphins, and Dow Loggins takes over. He was the quarterback's coach a year ago, so he's familiar with Jay. He's been in that meeting room with Jay Cutler, and they seem to have a pretty good relationship. But we've been through this before. We've heard plenty of training camps where Jay's raving about his offensive coordinator, his quarterback's coach, and then it all falls apart as soon as things go bad. But I think this has a little bit of a different vibe to it, too. In that, you know, I think it does matter that they were together last year, and the Bears would not have hired Dow Loggins if there was any kind of issue there whatsoever between them. And I just think the overall structure of the organization and coaching staff and that trickles down to players is a lot stronger than it was in years past, where maybe Jay had some of those issues with Ron Turner, Mike Martz, or Mike Tice, and you could certainly go through the list. And Aaron Cromer as well. So I think it's going to be okay, but what we don't know is how Dow Loggins can call plays and how it'll actually be executed on game day. We're not going to know that for a while, but I do think it's been a very welcome sight to see Kevin White look as good as he has so far. Alshon Jeffrey popped up with another muscle injury today, so that's sort of concerning. The Bears just called it muscle tightness, and I saw him in the lunchroom later, and he looked okay. So I don't think it's anything to worry about too much, but certainly with his history last year,
right,
you don't want to see that. Jay needs both of those guys healthy, and if they are healthy, I think they can open up the playbook a little bit more this year. But that doesn't mean they're going to become a pass-first team. I still think there's a run-first team, and they're going to try to establish that identity early.
Well, it's interesting because, they have these huge receivers, both White and Jeffrey, to play with, but it really does come down to what they do with the backfield. We talked about a little bit about pass catching yesterday when it comes to Langford and Carey and the rookie was Howard. Do they feel like they're up to the task to take over, fill the shoes of Matt Forte, and run the rock as much as Loggins is going to want to?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. They don't really have a choice. That's something Jay Cutler said to us the first day we were here a week ago already, that, you know, it's going to – he said in this – in basically, I don't know, less than 5 minutes apart, he said, you can't replace Matt Forte. But Jay then also said they have to perform because these running backs have to perform. They don't have a choice because if they don't, then things aren't going to go well. And that's kind of a very realistic look at the situation. No one's going to be Matt Forte, but as a group, they need to find a way to be productive and run the football. And I think as long as the offensive line performs well, these running backs are good enough to do that. I like what I've seen from Kadeem Carey so far, who's, I guess, kind of considered the number two guy right now. But he runs with a certain kind of purpose that I think is very impressive, but also sort of reckless. And you worry about him getting hurt, and he did suffer a concussion last year, so he's got to be careful with that. Otherwise, you know, I think they're going to be okay as long as the offensive line performs well. And so far, you know, I think the offensive line has been pretty solid considering that Kyle Long hasn't been out there.
Yeah, right. But he's back out, yeah. Right? So what's that mean for the Bears' offensive line that he's back out there?
Well, it means that they didn't lose their best offensive lineman for an extended period of time. That's what it means, and that's huge. I mean, that injury could have been a lot worse. There could have been a bigger tear than there was in his calf, and it turns out it was just, you know, a minor strain, and he was able to get back out there today. Now, he didn't do a whole lot today, but there's no reason to rush it. You know what Kyle Long is. You know what he's going to do, and right now you're actually getting a pretty solid opportunity to get an extended look at Ted Larson, the veteran, who you brought in to kind of be your swing guard, and also see if Cody Whitehair, the second-round pick out of Kansas State, can be, you know, a starter at left guard. So you don't need Kyle out there right now. It's good to see him back. It's good to see and know that injury is not serious, which I kind of told you guys last week. But it's still, to see him out there, it makes everyone feel a little bit better about the situation. So I think he's going to be okay long-term.
Well, you know, the other injuries to pay attention to on the other side of the ball, Danny Trevathan, who came in from the Denver Broncos, huge contract. He's going to be the middle linebacker we haven't had in a while. He had some injury trouble today.
Yeah, he did, and it was actually pretty scary. That's a guy that can't lose. You guys saw the Bears' defense last year. Much improved, but lacked instincts up the middle, and it really became a concern as the season went along. And that's what Danny Trevathan brings. Not a Pro Bowler by any means, but he's a pretty solid player that's going to be an upgrade and a leader on that defense. And he was dropping back in coverage today, and his knee buckled, and it looked kind of bad, to be honest. And he had to be helped off the field. He walked off on his own power, but the trainers were looking at him pretty closely. And they did the ACL test, and it's always a good sign when the trainer taps you on the knee, helps you up, and hands you back your helmet. And that's exactly what happened today. So I think that's good news for Danny Trevathan. Now, he didn't practice the rest of practice, and I'm sure he had some kind of testing done when it was all said and done. So, it could still be something that keeps him out for a little bit, but I think that initial test that was done on the field and the reaction and the fact that he wasn't carted off or taken back to the locker room immediately was a sigh of relief for the Bears because that's a guy they can't lose.
It just, I mean, what it comes down to, and obviously it's very early, we're still in training camp, but But what the Bears have always seemed to have trouble with, and other teams have done well, other organizations, the NFL, is when you lose players like a Trevathan or a Pernell McPhee or, you know, on the other side of the ball, and Alshon Jeffery, the Bears have always had trouble replacing those guys to come at the same level that they do. So really, you're right when you say Trevathan. And then also Pernell McPhee. I mean, you talked about it right at the beginning of camp. He's on the PUP list. You know, we haven't heard much out of him. Is there any update on his status, and are we thinking that that's what they said at the beginning of the camp is still legit?
Yeah, I mean, and what they said at the beginning of camp was that, I mean, they didn't really put any expectations on it. They didn't commit to the preseason at all. We might not see him at all here in camp. We might not see him at all in the preseason. That would not surprise me. I think the goal with him is week one in Houston, when it really matters. But the difference between that position and the inside linebacker position is that I think they have multiple starters at outside linebacker. I think Lamar Houston's a starter. I think Willie Young's a starter. And then you use your first-round draft pick on Leonard Floyd, who better be a starter in time.
Right.
So you're talking about having depth at that spot. Your backups at inside linebacker, and why I think the Danny Trevathan injury was so scary today, your backups are the guys that struggled to start last year. John Timu, Jonathan Anderson, Shea McClellan's gone now, and Christian Jones, who was your other starter at inside linebacker, is now an outside linebacker. They moved him completely out of that position.
Interesting.
Yeah, and actually, that's a side story. He's actually looked pretty good.
I was going to say, isn't that his natural position that he came out of? Can he play at Florida State? He has playmaker tendencies, that guy. He just didn't play well in the starting role.
Right, and you're right. Christian Jones playing at Florida State, he kind of used both the inside and outside in both a 3-4 and a 4-3 defense because they were switching a little bit when he was there. And I think he got kind of forced into that inside linebacker spot last year when they switched defenses. And the reality is I think he's a little bit better on the outside when he can just go and not have to think so much because he really doesn't have those instincts that you need for the inside linebacker spot. So far, he's looked really good in one-on-one drills, and I think he has a chance to make this team. He's going to push Sam Acho. So, again, that tells you there's even more depth at outside linebacker than there is at inside linebacker, where they really need Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan to just stay healthy.
Is Trevathan calling the plays?
Yeah, so they've both been doing that throughout the offseason and training camp. So that's a good thing. Like when Trevathan came out today, Freeman can kind of take that over.
Okay.
And they actually haven't decided that role yet. So they're kind of still going through that. And, you know, they still have four preseason games to kind of try that out and see who's doing it better. But they're both capable of doing it. And so there shouldn't be as much of a drop off if and when either of those guys get hurt at any point in the season.
All right. So tomorrow night, we need to talk about corners and safeties. We'll wrap now, but I want to talk about what they're doing at corner, what they're doing at safety. Obviously, you had a great piece today about how they're dropping balls back there. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Sports. You can check him out at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Intentional Grounding, his podcast, his blog, and, of course, The Beat on the weekend on Saturday. Adam, thanks for joining us, man.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.